Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to a special end of year episode of season two of Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate. My name is Fernando Arencibia Jr. And with me, as always, and this is a very appropriate adjective that I'm going to use for today's episode, the very generous Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hi.
Hi. Thank you. That was so sweet.
Of course. You know I mean it because I just came up with it.
Yeah, because it was spur of the moment.
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite series that we do, which is this kindergarten series. And we discuss these books that we feel are, you know, universally known. And maybe things that we haven't or that are a lot of people that are listening haven't heard in a long time. But I always love how there are certain things that you read over the course of your life that when you read it again, because you've had all this life experience, it begins to mean different things to you. And so today we're doing in the line of our kindergarten series, Jennifer, introduce today's book.
Sure. And the book today is one that I read often as a child and liked it. And then I reread it with my granddaughter not too long ago. And it is The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And it is a book about a tree and a little boy. So instead of reading the book, I'm going to give a quick summary and then we can discuss. So the little boy goes to this tree very frequently. He gathers her leaves every day. He makes crowns out of the leaves and plays king of the forest. He climbs and swings from her branches. He eats the apples from the tree. He plays hide and go seek. And then when he's ready to take a nap, he takes a nap under the shade of the tree. The boy loves the tree. The tree is very, very happy. As the boy gets older, he doesn't come around as much anymore, and the tree gets lonely. But when he finally does come by, she says, "Come on, boy, swing in my branches, eat my apples, climb me, and take a nap." And he's like, no, I'm too old for that. What I want is money. And the tree says, "Well, I don't have money, but if you take my apples, you can pick all my apples, take them to market, sell them, and then you'll have money." So the boy does that, and the tree's happy because the boy's happy. The boy's gone for decades, and when he finally comes back, the tree is so happy. She wants him to do everything that he did when he was younger, but he says, "Sorry, tree, I'm too old for that. What I really want is a house, because with a house, I can have a wife and children, and that's what I want." She says, "Well, I don't have a house, but if you come and cut down my branches, you can build your house." So he cuts down her branches, goes off and builds his house. And when he comes back, it's several decades later, and he's old and miserable. And he's like, "Tree, I'm unhappy. I want to build a boat and sail away." And she says, "Well, I don't have a boat, but if you cut my trunk, you can cut my trunk and build a boat and sail away." And so he does, and the tree is happy. By the way, this is the point when I'm reading the book that my granddaughter mm-hmm. sees the picture of the old man, and she goes, "Mama, look, he looks just like you. He looks just like you." I wanted to die. I'm like, really? God. I look like an old man. But anyway, I know. But it was so funny. Out of the mouths of babes, right? So anyway, when he comes back, he's a super old man. He doesn't have any teeth. Luckily, she didn't identify that with me. But I still have all my teeth. But, you know, the tree's so, so happy to see him. And she's like, boy, it's been so long. I'm so sorry. You know, my apples are gone. And he's like, don't worry, my teeth are too weak to eat them. And she's like, and my branches are gone. He's like, don't worry, I'm too old to swing. My trunk's gone. Don't worry, I'm too tired to climb. And she says, I have nothing left to give you. I'm just an old stump. And he says, don't worry, I don't need much. I just need a place to sit and rest. And the tree says, well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. So the boy sits and rests, and the tree is happy. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, I never thought about this before, but when I was, you know, kind of rereading this and looking for it online, this book has actually become controversial because even though most of us read it as kids, it's like, oh my God, this selfish boy comes, basically destroys the tree. The tree's happy, giving, giving, giving. You've milked it for all it's worth, you know, horrible boy.
Right.
But I still like the story because the tree's happy. The tree's happy giving. The tree, you know, like I can understand where people say, you know, oh, the boy's selfish, he destroyed the tree, but did he really, if what brought the tree joy was in giving? It wasn't her having apples if nobody ate them. It wasn't her having branches if nobody used them. The fact that she, that giving to the boy made the boy happy.
Right.
Made the tree happy, you know? So, I don't know. I maybe it's my Pollyanna and rose-colored glasses.
No, listen, it's really interesting because first, when I read it, I was, or reread it, first of all, I'm a big fan of Shel Silverstein. And by the way, if you've ever won a better story about procrastination, read Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout Would Not Take the Garbage Out by Shel Silverstein. It's a great story.
Oh, I have to put that on our list.
You definitely do. And I'll tell you a couple of other things about Shel Silverstein before the end of the episode. But when I first reread it and you suggested this topic, I was like, what kind of mental acrobatics is Jennifer and I, are we going to do to connect this to commercial real estate?
Really?
Because, you know, I felt the same way about the tree. I was like, man, this feels like a very different.
It feels like a broker.
Story.
It feels like being a broker. We give and we give and we give, and our clients take and they take and they take. And if we're lucky, we'll get a deal out of them.
No, oh, my goodness.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But that was an easy one for you.
Exactly.
Soft lob.
No, I think that it really is interesting dynamic because, you know, in a lot of ways, it's very easy to be very judgmental of the boy for the right reasons, really. But then what I remembered is the title of the book is The Giving Tree, right? And so, you know, we often have to decide what are the things that are going to fulfill us, right? What are the things that are going to bring joy to what we decide to give? I've been on this rampage about energy management being more important than time management, right? And sometimes you enter into conversations or you do things that either deplete your energy or that give you energy. And when you are doing things that are aligned with your core values and that are aligned with the things that make you the most yourself, right? Those things, even though you're giving, they re-energize you, right? And so, you know, I think the way to look at this is not from the boy's perspective, which I think we could all agree is perhaps not the greatest example, right? But it's more of looking at it from the point of view of the tree and what the tree wants to do.
Be the tree. That was my takeaway.
Be the tree.
Be the tree.
All right. So before all of you go out and start hugging a tree, let's talk about it from another perspective. I think that a lot of the unhappiness that is created in the brokerage, you know, business, especially when you're starting in, is that this is really a story about unconditional love, right? And unconditional means just that. When you give something without expecting something in return. Now, I think most people, even if they aspire to, have a hard time being 100% altruistic, right? We get our feelings hurt. We sometimes feel as though our time has been mismanaged by others. We are not valued by others, all of those things. But I think that at the heart of the story is the idea that you can create a lot of unhappiness for yourself if you give something that you genuinely want to give to someone else and expecting them to react a certain way or to do certain things for you. And in our business, we always talk about we have to give value first, right? And you never know where the blessing is going to come from. You never know if when the law of reciprocity is going to activate itself or how it's going to do. You're much more happier giving without having those expectations. And I hate to say it like this, at the risk of being called a hippie, let the universe reward your actions, right? At some point in time, in a way that you will most likely find it unexpected, right? And I think that that's part of what we do here, right? Because you never know how somebody is going to value the things that you give, right? And in turn, what they're going to do with it and how that's going to multiply itself.
I agree. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with mindset. This book reminds me of a grown-up business book called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John Mann. And in that book, they tell a story about how focusing on others by adding meaningful value, creating connections, etc., is a much faster way to success than focusing on the monetary side and material gain. And you and I talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
I also think in terms of the tree, and I go back to the boy because I don't want to vilify the boy either, because he brought her joy. Imagine if he hadn't climbed in her branches, if he had only gone once. And in going once, he had just chopped down the tree and taken it and sold the apples that one time and done everything all at once. It wouldn't have built a relationship. The tree and the boy had this relationship that lasted his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it was because she gave, but she also received. She gave physically and she received emotional, right? So she gave physically of herself and the boy made her happy. The fact that she was able to make the boy happy made her happy.
I also equated a little bit about when you make giving a priority for you or one of your values that you want to make the center of why you do what you do, it changes your dynamic and your perspective completely. And I hearken back to when we had the conversation and we went to the C5 CCIM conference, and this was a question that was asked of Bob Knockle while he was on stage, which is about you share a lot about what you do with the brokerage community, you share it with anyone that follows you. And we know that there are people in this industry, and like there are in every industry, that are very protective. You know, they feel like, I have a secret recipe, I don't want to share it with others, I don't want competition, I don't want to foster that. And his approach is very much about, I think if you think from that point of view of restricting what you have and restricting what you can share and how you could add to others, that becomes... That leads to a life of even more restrictions upon yourself.
Right. Well, that's the bounty, mind.
Right?
That's the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundance mindset.
That was the word. Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. And you and I have had those conversations with other brokers, like, you know, like George Guerra with RESF, where we talk about, look, we share everything that we do. And I go and teach a class and I share it with everyone. And one of the things he says is what, you know, 95% of people are not going to follow through on everything that you do, but you still share it freely. And sometimes, you know, you're dropping, you know, nuggets of gold. Right. And not everybody connects, makes the connection.
Or you don't know when they're going to make the connection. Like,
right.
I also look at it as so many of people that we follow, that we know, that we go to for advice. Right. You know, I feel like they're constantly giving to us. And it's like, okay, how can I give back? Right. And sometimes it's not now. Right. Like, at the beginning for me, that this whole, when I read The Giver, I'm like, that's very uncomfortable to be the person always being the get, yeah. right? On the get side. Because one of the things that they say in The Giver is that in order to give, the person that you're giving to also has to be receptive to receiving. Yeah. And that's one of the things I love about our brokerage community, whether it's through our in-person networking or our online social. The commercial community is extremely giving. They yeah. share education, they share information, they share so much freely. Right. They're happy to mentor, answer questions, etc. And again, so many people that are not within this community see us as uncooperative, as fighting with each other, as we're each other's competition. And right. at least in your and my experience, yeah. we haven't experienced that, right? So that makes yeah. us want to give even more to our to yeah. our community and to people coming into the community, because it does make you feel good when you give.
That's
like
right.
I can, I can relate to the tree.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? Just to piggyback on what you're saying, we are perhaps the most collaborative group of competitors, yeah. Out of any other industry, right? And it really is makes a huge impact. And because this is the last episode of the year, I look back at so many collaborative projects that we have undertaken this year. Not only with our business partners, but also, you know, with the brokerage community, where there is all of the wonderful people that joined us and agreed to be interviewed and added so much value to our podcast. And then Beth Azor giving us a shout out during the C5 conference and getting to meet Bob Knackle and sharing a few, you know,
knuckle nuggets
in person, which was wonderful. And CREI's, you know, recognizing this podcast and, you know, bringing us into the fold of that community. There is something really impactful about, you know, being a part of it. And this is, again, where I think aligning your values is very important, right? Jennifer and I think one of our core values is collaboration and cooperation. I am not a lone wolf. She is not a lone wolf either. You know, we like to work in groups. We like to cooperate, collaborate. We like to build something together. We like to see, you know, each other grow. Those are things that you, for me, one of the lessons of the book is you have to decide who you are, what you value, right? What that core set of beliefs is going to be, and you got to stick to it, right? And that's what's going to bring you joy and happiness and success in whichever way that you define it. Now, I do want to say that I cheated, Jennifer, so mea culpa. But I did go to ChatGPT, 4.0 version, by the way. I am bougie like that. I did upgrade, and I asked to find powerful prospective connections between commercial real estate and the Giving Tree. And I think you're going to like these. So can I go through these? Number one, unconditional giving and client relationships, right? So it's like the tree's selfless love for the boy. Successful real estate professionals often invest in long-term client relationships without an immediate expectation of return. I would have to say that whether we're offering guidance, sharing knowledge, helping our clients with small tasks or big tasks, creating trust, rapport, helping them navigate zoning issues, planning issues, issues with the city, new laws that come into place. You know, we're big into advocacy. We've spoken about that. I think that that giving is, you know, one of the pillars of that growth. What do you think of that first one?
I think ChatGPT did okay.
You think ChatGPT did okay? All right. Good job, OpenAI. You got some support. Here's number two. Jennifer is groaning because she believes we're all going to be deep faked very soon. And we're going to be made to say things that we would never say. And she's absolutely right.
I'm afraid we're going to stop thinking. Like, we already don't have to remember dates or phone numbers because our phone yeah. does that for us. Pretty soon, yeah. all we're going to have to know is how to prompt.
Listen, I had to type it in. Give me some credit.
Okay, kudos for the prompt.
To think of the prompt.
It's all in the good prompt.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, if in the next 20 years, for those of you who have little kids, one of your little kids is going to get a degree in prompt writing for ChatGPT. I'm just letting you know, guys. It's coming. Number two, understanding changing needs over time. Just as the boys' needs evolved, clients' needs change as well. Now, this I really like, right? Because we, as real estate professionals, have to be adaptable. We have to have that willingness to meet clients at the different stages of their professional life and their, you know, investment needs, and be ready, right, to provide the market insights that they need, to provide the technical approach that is going to need it in order to help them accomplish their goal. So I thought that that was really interesting, because the tree does adapt over time in the story to, you know,
to fit the needs of the boy, which we do as our customers grow with us, right? If we get them in their early years of investing or business growth.
Now, I will say, I like the analogy of the tree for the broker. I don't like the analogy of the boy for the client, right? Because
I think
the relationships that we have with our clients is much more symbiotic and much more aligning our interests and making sure that each other is well throughout the transaction. Well,
I think you're being defensive because you see the boy as a negative, right? I didn't see the boy as a negative, so I don't see the customer as a negative, right? It's the boy is expressing what he needs from the tree. It's an honest, like, this is what I need now. This is what I want now. They go away for a while. They come back. I want clients that are like the boy. Mm. I want clients that are going to keep coming back to me over the decades as their needs change. So I think you have to be careful. Don't vilify the boy. Don't vilify the boy.
There you go. there you go. That was not a knuckle nugget. That was a woman nugget.
And
guys,
that was not AI. That was all that. Moi.
Whoa. I love it. I'm going to put some prompts in your brain. Look at the third one. The third one I thought was really good because it's about sustainable practices and their long-term impact. And I thought that was really good. In commercial real estate, maximizing value without depleting resources, economic or environmental, is crucial. Unlike the tree, which gave it until it was left as a stump, real estate professionals are increasingly mindful of balancing profit with sustainable growth and community impact. And then, of course, there is the sustainable growth of using materials like the wood of the tree for building and creating sustainability. I think that was an interesting take as well.
And the fact that the boy never ground up the stump for mulch. means that the tree can come back. I mean, it sounds silly, but I can't tell you how many trees that we've had on our property. We've lived in our house for 30 years. We've cut down or cut back, and it comes back even better. So,
yeah, it's really interesting because on the one hand, my instinct is to tell you, great. So you whittle down the tree to a nub, and then you're like, I'm going to leave you there for you to regrow. But I do understand what you're saying, because it's also an analogy about life, right? And, you know, I once heard a preacher speak about, do you want to escape life unscathed and healthy and everything is fine? And, you know, I think what he was trying to say is that you want to leave this life being used, you know? Like, you want to be useful, you want to be purposeful, and you're going to have some wear and tear. That should be something that you aim for as well, right? Because you're here to provide, to leave that mark. And leaving that mark is literally leaving that mark. So I thought that was interesting. The last one, which I think it's really at the heart of why you picked this book, is finding fulfillment beyond the transactions. And, you know, the tree finds joy in seeing the boy happy, even when it means giving up parts of herself. Similarly, true satisfaction in commercial real estate often comes from seeing a project positively impact a community rather than solely focusing on profits. Helping a neighborhood thrive through affordable housing or revitalized commercial districts, creating a legacy that extends beyond financial gain. And this is where, you know, it's hard to quantify. And because of the work that sometimes we do, where we volunteer our time with organizations, or we go to Tallahassee or DC and advocate for things that are important to the people that we serve, we get a lot of questions about, well, what's your return on investment? What does this do for your business? You know, is this making you more money? Is a question that I get asked and that you get asked and we all get asked. And, you know, the reality is that you know, again, it goes back to the values that you have and the principles upon which you want to not only build the foundation of your business, but the foundation of your life. And so I think a big part of this is that the return on investment of things are not always monetary, right? And they are not always a direct link. There is so much that happens as a result of you giving. And sometimes you might do something today and you might not see that result for 3, 4, 5 years down the line. And that's just, you know, the wonderful thing about interconnectivity, you know? And so I thought that that was an interesting take.
Okay, I don't like to admit it, but ChatGPT 4.0 did a pretty good job.
Yeah, exactly. Wait until we get 5.0.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I don't even have to type it.
So I wanna kind of wrap this up with a story, just because it's about trees, and this is kind of my fun fact, but kind of an additional add-on to.
And I do have a fun fact, by the way.
Oh, you do? So,
yeah,
oh,
I do,
okay,
ma'am.
Sorry, I stopped asking.
No, but please.
It's been
a while. I got you.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
So I heard this the other day, that one of the largest oaks in the city of Raleigh has to come down. It's an 80-foot wide oak. It's 100 years old. And there was huge outcry, but they're taking it down because it has a huge crack down the middle of it. They think there was a smaller crack in the tree, and then water went in there and froze and expanded the tree. And now it's a safety hazard. So it's coming down. And, you know me, yes, I'm a little bit of a tree hugger and I love my trees. They increase property values, et cetera. But I was thinking about this tree, and I was so sad listening to this, thinking, oh, I understand why, but I can understand how sad it is as well for the residents who live there and who identify that part of Raleigh with the tree. And then the story continued, and they said, but the city is going to take the trunk and they're going to spread the trunk among local artists so that the local artists can create public art awesome. Pieces. And I'm like, oh, goosebumps. Like, what a great way. We're always talking about how to innovate and how to think of ways to turn bad things positive. And so here's this beautiful 100-year-old tree that has provided shade and gratification to the residents and visitors of Raleigh for so long. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, due to disease and age and the whole safety issue, it's coming down, but it's going to continue to be able to give through beautiful pieces of art. And just That's think awesome. About what the city is giving to those artists, and those artists in return are going to give back to the city. I had to end with that, because I thought that was such a wonderful. So shout out to the city of Raleigh and to the residents of Raleigh for accepting
That's beautiful.
This next reiteration of the tree.
Well, and I do want to also leave on a positive note, because, you know, sometimes we listen to a lot of negative news, and there are people that have had some significant loss this year through the hurricanes, and it has been incredibly impactful for many of our brothers and sisters in North Carolina and Georgia, and of course, our closest brethren here in Florida. But I do want to say that there is an incredible community that gets activated after every catastrophic event, right? Like a hurricane or an earthquake and things of that nature. A community that activates to, that is ready to give, that is ready to provide some solace in the middle of the storm, that is able to be, I think, part of the fabric of the American story, which is that, you know, when people talk to me about divisiveness that is created as a result of politics, or, you know, are we all of one mind? You know, I often say, I think that the giving nature of all of us in America is under-evaluated or
underappreciated,
right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to tell you that in 2023, and this is a number that I know will continue on because it grows every year, 60% of American households engaged in charitable giving. Individuals donated $320 billion in 2023 to charitable causes. These are not political campaigns. These are not, these are charities. It accounts for 65% of total donations to these charities. 97% of donors report that the impact of their gift is their main motivation for giving, as opposed to tax deductions or other reasons. I don't have the stat in front of me, but the number of people that actually take those tax deductions is minute compared to the amount of charitable giving that is done by American households throughout the year. And because we are in the season of giving, you know, we do want to say how appreciative we are to you listening to the podcast, those of you who reach out and give us positive reinforcement for us to continue to do it. I'm incredibly appreciative to my partner in crime, Jennifer Woolman, to Corinna, her daughter, who is our editor, to Jessica Joffrey, who is our switchblade, right? She is a Swiss Army knife for us and helps us on all those things. And all of the people that really, when we've asked them to join us and to be interviewed, they do it with enthusiasm and they're excited for it. And we could not be more grateful for that. And so...
And also to our family who inspires us, my grandkids who are an endless source of material.
That's right.
And our customers as well. And
Amen.
So have a wonderful, wonderful...
Yes. One last thing, because I did promise and I want to keep my promises. Uh-huh. One other fun fact about Shel Silverstein.
Oh, yes.
So... there is a great and very funny song by Johnny Cash called A Boy Named Sue. That song was written by Shel Silverstein. So now you got to go listen to it.
A Boy Named Sue.
I know, A Boy Named Sue. It's a great song. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on this special episode of Between Two Chairs. I look forward for us to join us on next year's podcast. And we wish you nothing but the best to you and your families. God bless you all. Goodbye.
Bye. Happy New Year.